I want to commend Brother Josh. This morning he had a very good lesson, and his class was very good. He said some things in his class about me, and I think they were right. In his class, he compared my preaching to that of Paul. He said in Acts chapter 24 that Paul used 3 points, and I used 3 points. And that, you know, Paul was scripture, so my preaching had to be scripture. But I want to let Josh know, maybe I can only count as far as three. You know, there are some things in this world that are considered very valuable. First of all, one would think towards gold, silver, diamonds. Those are considered to be very valuable. Even if you go to a jewelry store and you look, you will see the price extremely high. Antiques. Things that are very old and been around a very long, long time. If you ever gone to any stores and looked around at some antiques, you would notice that the price are very, very high. They are considered to be very valuable. There are those who travel from state to state collecting antiques, collecting things that are old, very old. Susie and I was in the museum, art museum in Cleveland. Oh, I think it was back in October. As we walked through there and we saw pictures hanging on the wall, that was, you know, 100, maybe 200 years old, and it was very expensive, very valuable. We live in a world, we live in a country, we live in a state where people place a lot of interest, a lot of time, a lot of value on things that are valuable, on material things, such as cars, houses, clothing, and real estate. It's hard not to pick up a magazine or pick up a newspaper and you see and you read about the interest that people place, time and effort that people spend on trying to acquire things that are valuable. I'm quite sure that most of us in here probably have something that we have collected that to us is valuable. For me, I'm a music collector. I've been collecting music for the last 20 years, and I have a lot of old stuff going back to the 50s, maybe even to the 40s. And to me, it's valuable. If my house caught on fire, first thing I run there and do is grab my family first. But I get a kick out of that. I think it was Josh who mentioned the other day that he collects Bibles. Well, you know, he probably sees the value in that, and that to him it's precious. As a Christian, in a spiritual sense, there has to be some things to us that are valuable. I'm sure as Christians, we want to have nice things. You know, we want to have a nice car, a nice house, and nice clothing, and all the gadgets that's been made in the last 15 years. But yet on the other hand, as a Christian, what should separate us from the world is that we know and we understand that there are some spiritual things in this world that has to be more valuable than any material possession that we ever owned. As a Christian, we understand that these material things will one day decay or break down, tear up, stop working. But there are some spiritual things that to the Christian is very valuable. So this evening, for a little while, we will just think about spiritual valuables. What's really valuable to you spiritually? How about the Word of God? I'm quite sure everyone here has several copies of the Scripture. You can go to people's houses and you can see there's a copy of the Bible here, there's a copy on the shelf, but you wonder and you ask yourself the question, is it really, really important and valuable to that person? Spiritual valuables. The Word of God, it should be very valuable to you and I. It should be so valuable to you and I that we want to tell the world and let the world know how valuable it is to us. It was Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, that Jeremiah says these words, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing." Jeremiah realized how valuable the word of God is, that Jeremiah says, look here, I do not know how to live my life apart from your word. Spiritual valuables. Is God's word, is the Holy Scriptures, is the copy of that Bible that you carry every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday night, the copy of the Bible that you pick up from time to time, maybe even every day, is it really valuable to you? Do you treasure it? Or is it just to you a symbol and icon that you carry around for people to think and look at you and say, wow, that's a Christian? Spiritual valuables. The Word of God. The psalmist would say, in Psalms 119, he would say these things pertaining to the Word of God. He would say, starting at verse number 10 of Psalms 119, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as in riches." The psalmist seemed to be one who was falling in love with the word of God. The psalmist seemed to be one who valued the word of God. He sees value in it and he's determined to follow it. He says he's rejoicing more than that of riches. Is that the attitude that we have when looking at the word of God? The scriptures, do we value it? Paul would say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, is a verse that's been read so many times, but I'm going to take another look at it here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, start at verse number 15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Paul says to Timothy some things about the word of God that proves how valuable it is. First of all, Paul says you need to study it so that you can have the approval of God. See, God's word is so valuable to you and me as a Christian. If I'm going to have the approval of God, the stamp of God, if I'm going to make it to heaven and be approved by God, I must know the word of God. He goes on, he says, not only that, at the very end of it, that you can rightly divide it by studying the word of God, having it, I can be able to handle it, study it, divide it properly. See, it's valuable. Spiritual valuables. You cannot be a Christian, a faithful Christian, and fail to see how valuable it is to have spiritual valuables. the Word of God. It should be very valuable to you and to me that maybe one day we will make the statement that the psalmist makes in Psalms 119, verse 127. In 127, he would say, "Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way." The psalmist again says that he loves the word of God. He goes on, he says, more than gold. And then he goes on and says, all of your commandments, they're right. I hate every false way. Do you see how valuable the psalmist saw the word of God? It was that which he learned right and wrong from. It was that which enabled him to be able to know what was right and what was wrong. It was that which enabled him to stay away from that which was evil. Spiritual valuables is the word of God. Valuable to you spiritually? Hopefully it is. The psalmist would go on and say it, verse 105. He would say, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Do you see how valuable the word of God is? We cannot live spiritually without it. The psalmist says, "It's a lamp, it's a light to our path." And we all know what light and lamp will do. It makes it clear. It illuminates the path in which we're traveling, in which you can see where you're going. I don't know how to live, and you don't know how to live spiritually apart from the word of God. It's valuable. Spiritual valuables. It's amazing how this world is pushing it so far aside, trying to get rid of the Bible, the very concept of God, not realizing that this is what they need spiritually. Not realizing the value of having the scriptures, the value of reading the scriptures, the value of learning from it, and the great value of obeying and following it. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, when Paul writes to the church at Rome, he would say, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Paul says two very important things here about the word of God. He says it's powerful, and secondly, say it's that which we obtain salvation from. Do you see how valuable it is? Spiritual valuables. To we are Christians, we should always look upon the scriptures as that which is valuable spiritually. Jesus would say in John chapter 17, verse number 17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them with thy word. Thy word is truth." As he was praying to the Father about the disciples, he brings out a couple of points there that the word of God is true. And seventh point, he brings out that those who follow it will be sanctified, because sanctified sets you apart. If you follow in the word of God, you have to be living totally different from the rest of the world, because the word of God leads you totally away from the path of the world. Oh, how valuable it is. Spiritual valuables. When we stop and we clear our heads and we really see that all the great masterpieces that have been put together in the world does not compare to this. We stop and we clear our heads and we think of all the great riches and treasures in this world. When it really comes down to it, it could never be as valuable as God's word. Spiritual valuables. Now, secondly, when you think of that which is valuable spiritually, next thought come to my mind is the soul. is the soul of men. Now, God gave every man a soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, Jesus was very concerned about the souls of men, that part of man that lives forever. Jesus says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he says, I came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus wanted no man to be lost. He was concerned about the souls of men. And you and I should be concerned about the souls of men also. But not only that, we ought to be concerned about our soul, because our soul is valuable. One of the greatest possessions that you and I have, most valuable possession, it will be in Mark chapter 8 that Jesus would ask this great question. Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus would ask a great question by teaching a great lesson. He would say, start at verse number 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus says, what shall a man profit if he gain or acquire the whole world, everything in the world, whether it's money, treasures, whether it's pleasure, everything in the world, and loses his own soul? What does he profit? Absolutely nothing. See, the soul is very valuable. And as a Christian, hopefully, we see that and we'll take care of our soul spiritually. We'll be concerned about our soul spiritually. In verse 36, at the ending of verse 36, he says, lose his own soul. His own soul. See, I can't lose Richard's soul. Richard can't cause me to lose my soul. He could teach me some things if I choose to follow him. Yeah. But see, each and every person is required, is accountable for his own soul. Each and every person is required and accountable for studying and learning the word of God and growing spiritually. Each and every person is accountable for straying his or herself away from sin, away from temptation, away from being involved in things that's going to cause them to lose their soul. We are responsible for our own souls. But yet too still, we ought to be concerned about each other and their souls. My point is that our souls are too valuable, people, for us to play around and fool around and lose. Spiritual valuables, the Word of God, spiritual valuables, our souls. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, the writer will say these things at verse number 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. James seemed to be concerned about those who he would be writing a letter to. He tells them some things to get rid of. get rid of all the overflow of wickedness and filthiness, and receive with meekness the word of God, which is able to do what? Save your soul. James was concerned about his soul and the soul of those who he's writing the letter to, because the soul is valuable, that which God have given us, that will live on eternally. Seem to be that so many people in this world seem to be so busy acquiring all these things and taking care of all the other things and acquiring all the wealth that they can and all the power they can and trying to build great riches. But you know what? As one person once said, you can't take it with you. I've heard people say, you never see a dead man, you know, being taken to the funeral home and then from the funeral home to the graveyard with a U-Haul connected behind the hearse. Never happens. Why? Because you can't take it with you. What does Paul say? Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 7, he tells Timothy that you brought nothing into this world, and it is certain you will take nothing out. That being the case, we got to have our priorities right so that we don't get so caught up in acquiring everything and putting value on other things and losing that which is so valuable, which is our souls. In Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 17, the writer has these things to say about the souls and how valuable it is. He says that, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Paul encouraged them and write them and tell them about those who would be elders. That those who would be elders should be concerned and would be concerned about watching out for the souls of the flock. You know, sometimes I find myself baffled at some of the things that I read about pertaining to those who call themselves elders in the Lord's church that have encouraged the congregation and pushed the congregation to be involved in, which leading them directly to hell when they ought to be concerned about the soul. Why? Because the soul is very valuable. It's one of what I refer to as one of spiritual valuables, which God have given us. In Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. I've always said when something's said twice, that means it's very important. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Jesus says the same thing here. But what shall a man profit? Is a man to profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus saw the value of a soul. Hopefully you and I will take care and watch over in our souls and be concerned about the souls of those who are lost. Thirdly and last on the list of those which is valuable. You know this has to be the last point because Josh made it very clear I can only count it for his three. Here we go, last point. Something that's very valuable, spiritual valuable. This is that which is our example. Do you realize how important our examples are? One person once said, we teach great lessons to the world by our examples. And sometimes, even we as Christians set examples that's not right, that's not worthy for others to follow. Jesus spent a whole lot of time talking and preaching on being a proper example. He would say in Matthew chapter 5, starting verse number 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus uses a lot of things they draw examples from. First, he says salt. Are you kind of like me? When I buy fries, I want salt on them. I bought some fries yesterday. There was no salt on them. As soon as I got home, my wife turned it back. I put some salt on them. Okay? Because salt has flavor. Salt seasoned. And also salt preserved. We ought to be that way. Oh, example. Then he goes on and talks about a city on a hill. If I remember right, Jerusalem sat on a hill, 3,200 feet above Jericho. So you would have been easy. You could not have missed Jerusalem. If you ever traveled from 180 out west past Davenport, Iowa, going just before you get into Des Moines, Iowa, there's cornfields, and cornfields. And all of a sudden, from nowhere, pops up a city, Des Moines, Iowa. You can't miss it. We ought to be that way, says Jesus. The city on a hill. People see our lives. See we are living as Christians. Our example is very valuable. Ephesians chapter 5. Start at verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul encouraged those at Ephesus to walk circumspectly, to walk carefully as Christians, to not be foolish, but to be wise, to have an understanding of the will of God. And by doing these things, one can set a proper example. If you're living your life haphazardly, not checking things out before getting involved in it, just living uncontrollable, not practicing temperance and self-control that Josh talked about in the Bible class, then you bound to set the wrong example. But if we read and understand and practice that which we read, then we will be setting a right example. Spiritual valuables, one of them is a good example. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Sorry, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Paul encouraged those at Colossae to watch their speech, to make sure it's seasoned with salt. And not only that, he encouraged them to walk or to live in wisdom toward those who are on the outside, those who aren't Christian. We are to do that. We are to live wise lives towards those who aren't Christian. We are, in essence, set the best example we can. Our example, very valuable. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 starts out, he reminds them that those who have been raised with Christ are to think on things of Christ, to set their minds on things of Christ. But then when you drop down around to verse number 8, he says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blaspheme, filthy language out of your mouth. Paul says that these who are members of the Lord's church, that these are things you ought not to be practicing. Malice, anger, wrath, filthy language. Because these things place you right back out there in the world. And by doing so, as a Christian, you're not setting that proper example. Spiritual valuables. Oh, how valuable it is for you and I as Christians to set the right example. Spiritual valuables is very important that we see that our soul is valuable, that we nourish it, take care of it. Last of all, spiritual valuables, hopefully we will always see that God's word is so important, so valuable, that we need it in order to please God or live right, in order to follow it so that we can get to heaven, receive our reward. In a few minutes, we're going to sing the invitation song. If I remember right, Why Not Tonight. As I look over the audience, I see everyone is a member here. But being a member, at times, things happen in our lives. At times, being a member of the Lord's church as a Christian, at times we let our guard down and we lured away and we sin. And if that be the case with you this evening, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why stop putting it off? Why not take tonight to be the night that you get your life right and repent of this sin and have it pushed away so you can move forward and live your life right with God? Why not tonight? You may be thinking, well, not tonight, maybe next night, maybe next time we meet up. Well, there's no promise that we're going to be here for the next time. We hope and we pray and we would love to meet back here next Sunday night. But if there is sin in your life, do the right thing. Repent, turn from it, and move forward as we sing the invitation song.